Psalm 35, fight, O Lord, against those who fight against me. Now, it's the natural thing to want to fight back yourself, but he says, look, you fight against those who are fighting against me. Take hold of your shield and stand up for my help. Brandish the spear and block those who are chasing me. So it must have been written when he was being chased by Absalom or by Saul. Tell my soul, I am your salvation. Tell those who are seeking after my life that they shall be disappointed and brought to dishonour. Let those who plot my destruction be turned back and confounded. Well, it was really at the time when Absalom's rebellion happened that people were plotting David's destruction. Absalom had been planning it for years. And then at the end, they thought they were so clever working it all out, how they were going to take power from David. And he says, may they be turned back and destroyed. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them on. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the Lord's angel chasing them. Well, when this does happen to Absalom, and you'd remember he is chased, just as it says here, he would be chased after the big battle between David's men and Absalom's men. And then his head gets caught in an oak tree. And he's stuck there, stunned. And then Joab and his men come and kill him. And then David's like, oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, oh, would God I had died for you. Well, actually here in these Psalms, David is wishing death upon Absalom and upon all those who have turned against him. But when it actually happens, it's the same when Saul dies, when it actually happens, he's really upset. So for one thing, don't wish bad things upon your enemies. Bless those who curse you, we're told, not curse those who curse you. No, we are to bless those who curse us. And also be careful what you pray for, and be careful what your deepest desire really is, because you're probably, in principle, going to get it. For without cause, they've hidden their net in a pit for me. Without cause, they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon them suddenly and unexpectedly. Let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Let him fall into that destruction. But I will rejoice in Yahweh and in his salvation. All my bones will say, Lord, who is like you, who delivers the poor from him who is too strong for him? Yes, the poor and the needy from him who robs him. Unrighteous witnesses rise up. They accuse me of things that I know nothing about. They reward me evil for good to the bereaving of my soul. So it really hurt him that they slandered him. And he says that this absolutely destroyed me, my soul, right inside me. I was so upset. So don't have anything to do with slander of other people. Don't spread gossip. Don't come out with untrue things about people and have nothing to do with those who do. This is a terrible, terrible thing to do because it really destroys people. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting. My prayer was said deeply in my heart. I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down mourning as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Well, I think that this is partly talking about what happened when Absalom revolted against him, but I think it's also talking about what first happened when Saul was chasing and persecuting David. Now here he says, I mourned for him when he was sick, as a man mourns for his mother. Well, I know what it's like to mourn for your mother. And for me, the weeping, the sadness that I'd lost my mum and burying her was because I realised that I hadn't appreciated her as I should have done. And so I think it was really the same with David. This is how he felt with Saul, that he hadn't appreciated him as he should have done, even though Saul was a bad man, very bad man, who was really trying to destroy David's life. And of course, when Saul does die, he is terribly upset. And yet in the Psalms, he curses him and says, yeah, God, destroy my enemies, those who are chasing me. You see there really grace, how he really did love his enemies. Even after Saul's dead, David's going around saying, is there anybody left of the house of Saul to whom I can show grace to? So he had a lot of failings, David, but he was a great example of truly loving your enemies and truly showing grace to people. I think that's why when he sinned so badly, God showed him his grace, because David had himself shown a lot of grace in his life. But, he says, in my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The attackers gathered themselves together against me and I didn't know it. They tore me. They never stopped. Like mockers at parties, they gnashed their teeth at me. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my life from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. So it does seem that all God's children feel that apparently God is a bit inactive. He's far away or just looking on and doing nothing. That's how we all feel, I suppose, about God. Why don't you act? And yet this cry, how long? This is all the faithful have got this desire. How long until you act? Until Jesus comes back? I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Don't let those who are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let those who hate me without a cause rejoice, for they don't speak peace, but they are planning deceitful words against those who are quiet in the land. Yes, they open their mouth wide against me. They said, aha, aha, how I have seen. But you have seen it, Yahweh. Don't keep silent. Lord, don't be far from me. Wake up, rise up to defend me, my God, my Lord, contend for me. But is God really asleep? No, he's not. And yet, there's always this sense that God is somehow there, but is not active. I don't think we'll ever become atheists, but we can have this sense that God is kind of asleep. And he isn't, of course, asleep. So, but David cries out, vindicate me, Yahweh my God, according to your righteousness. Don't let them gloat over me. Don't let them say in their heart, aha, that's just the way we want it. Don't let them say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be disappointed and confounded together who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, may Yahweh be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. My tongue will talk about your righteousness and about your praise all the day long.